This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Legendary Celtics head coach Red Auerbach once said, "Be a man of integrity. Stand up for your players. Show them you care on and off the court." Wise words indeed. But it seems Rutgers men's basketball coach Mike Rice didn't exactly get that memo. Today, Rutgers fired Rice after he was secretly videotaped abusing his players, shoving and kicking them and throwing basketballs at their heads while berating them with gay slurs. Well, joining us as he always does on Wednesdays is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Bill, tell us, who is Mike Rice and what exactly has happened here?
Well, as of today, Mike Rice is an ex-college basketball coach, used to work at Rutgers, and that opportunity was taken away from him, quite legitimately, I think, when these tapes surfaced of him abusing players, as you have described.
And they surfaced first on ESPN,
Outside the Lines, correct.
Tuesday night. And it's pretty ugly stuff to watch, and obviously there's been great fallout. Mike Rice himself even apologized for his behavior in an interview outside his New Jersey home this morning. Let's listen.
There's no explanation for what's on those films, because there is no excuse for it. I was wrong. I want to tell everybody who's believed in me that I'm deeply sorry for the pain and the hardship that I've caused him.
So he's deeply sorry now, but this behavior was videotaped, at least a year ago? And it's been going on for some time.
Yeah, it's been going on for at least a couple of years. And so, yes, it's the kind of thing where it's not exactly like saying, "I made a mistake," because the mistake wasn't singular. It was serial.
So, I mean, what do you think about, do you think that had it not been for the video, it obviously seems as if nothing much would have happened.
Well, the athletic director knew about what he was doing, had been informed about the behavior at least as early as last December, and had chosen simply to suspend and fine the head coach, where now I think everybody who's seen those videos has said, why wasn't he fired as soon as the athletic director knew that this sort of thing was going on? And that remains an open question.
Well, Bill, I mean, I suppose another question is these are college students. They're not kids. They are, in a sense, grown men being treated very badly. One wonders why they didn't, perhaps react a little more strongly.
In many cases, they are grown men who are dependent upon the basketball coach for their opportunity to remain in college. They're on scholarship. If they take issue with the coach's discipline measures, they're likely to be dropped from the team. Their scholarships can be revoked. Most of them, at least many of them, couldn't continue to stay in college and pay the tuition by other means. And in fact, the way the NCAA works, if they chose, say, to drop out of Rutgers and enroll in another school where they could play basketball and perhaps get an education as well, the Rutgers coach would have something to say about their eligibility at the other school. So these coaches really have a tremendous amount of control over the lives of the young men that they're coaching.
Is this yet another chapter in the ongoing story of the power imbalance between coaches at big and players at big-time colleges?
I think it is, and I think it's also part of the culture of not only big-time college basketball, but football as well, where you look at what these guys are paid, millions of dollars a year and sneaker contracts and opportunities to run camps and television and radio programs and cars from the local car dealer and country club memberships and all the rest. There is a sense of power that goes along with those positions and a sense of entitlement that I think some of these coaches simply feel like they can do whatever they want because they look around and they say, who on this university campus is being paid any more than I am or being treated like the rock star the way I am? And it's a culture that we've, applauded
and bought into by
Absolutely.
Virtue of buying those tickets.
Absolutely.
Well, let's move on to the actual sport of basketball for a moment, because we've still got a lot of college ball in the news. Florida Gulf Coast University.
It was a great run. It was a great ride. And then they lost their coach to USC because they were so good that USC said, what the heck is a coach that successful doing down at Florida Gulf Coast?
It's a lesson in not being successful.
And they decided to pay him $1 million more than he was making at Florida Gulf Coast, and now he's moving his family to USC.
And they lost to home state rival University of Florida.
Yes,
right?
They did. The ride did not go on forever.
Okay. Well, Bill, let's move on to, even though Anthony is not here, in his honor, let's talk a little bit about Red Sox Because, you know,
if the season were to end today,
it'd be great.
They'd be in first place.
Not too shabby on opening day.
I'll say tied for first place. No, they looked very good on opening day, and the Yankees looked very bad. And if you looked at the lineup, as Tim Kirkchin told me yesterday, you didn't recognize a lot of the names in the Yankee lineup, especially. So, it was a happy beginning to what we must all remember is a 162-game season.
Well, let's talk a little bit about an anniversary in baseball. On April 6th, it'll be the 40th anniversary of the first swing by a designated hitter.
And the very first designated hitter didn't have to swing. And he's Ron Bloomberg, and we have him on the program on Saturday. And this is what he says about being the first DH.
And I got up to bat, and I walked on a 3-2 count with Louis Tiant, and I had no idea I was a DH, first DH. So, you know, to be honest with you, I thought the DH was just going to last a couple of months at the most. And I screwed up the game of baseball in 73, you know. So, you know, 50% of the people love it, 50% of the people hate it, and I became the first.
Let me guess who loves it and who hates it. Depends on the league you might be in.
I'll tell you who loves it. People like me who played fast pitch softball for at least 5, 6, 8 years longer than I ever would have if there hadn't been a designated hitter in the Cambridge Metro West League.
We'll hear more about that this weekend on Only a Game. Bill Littlefield is, of course, host of NPR's Only a Game. You can hear it on WBUR every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Bill, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Meghna.
Well, stick with us because coming up, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, Gabriel Gomez. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.